Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Oh, hello and welcome. Happy Saturday. We're glad you're with us today. My name is Paul Jamison, your host from the Jamison family of companies, Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments. So glad you're with us today. I'm here with my good friend, Amber Holt, with the Costner Law Firm. Welcome back, Amber.
Thank you, Paul. So happy to be here with you.
Yes, yes. So glad to see you. And the more times I see you, that means the more times I'm selling houses. So
that's
it's good
right
to see you as many days as I see you these days. Amber is our closing attorney and certainly a great asset to Jamison in helping us and our clients buy and sell houses. So we're excited to have her here today, and she's also available to you if you have a question related to a legal question related to real estate. She's here and hope that you take advantage of that. I'm also here if you have questions about your home, buying, selling, investing, whether you've got tenants, whether you're trying to sell something, make changes, buy something, you're considering making these changes, or you have a tenant issue, anything that you may have related to real estate or an investment issue, we'd love to talk to you. So here's how you get us today, and here's what happens. You pick up the phone, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Jesse here is on the board and on the phones. He'll pick up the phone. He'll get your question. We will get you over to us. So make it brief, and then we'll put you on the air because we know that if you're thinking something out there, it not only could be beneficial to you, but it could also help somebody else. All right. So last time for the number, 704-570-1110. We'd love to hear from you. So don't be scared. Don't call me Monday. Call me now. Okay. So last time Amber was here, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago?
I believe so.
Okay. We had a series of questions that continue to come up all the time. So I decided to continue that. So yesterday at 10 p.m., I gave Amber a list of homework of some questions, which she came through with flying colors, as always, to help us with. And we're going to talk a lot about those. I've also got some summer selling and summer buying advice, tips, things to think about, ponder. As well. So what do you say?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it. Let's start with you. So let's just start and let's just throw right down into the first question. In North Carolina, can a husband buy a house without their spouse or vice versa?
The short answer is yes.
Oh, they can.
They can. So in North Carolina, you need one to buy and two to sell.
Okay.
So that's the short version of the rule.
Okay, so we have a lot of folks out there that for one reason or another have decided not to stay together and also decided not to file for divorce, but yet they don't live in the same place.
Right.
So if they want to sell their house.
So what they're going to need to do is they're going to need to set up a free trader. So, and certainly Costner Law Office, we can help you with that. But basically, if you've got a free trader or even if you have a prenuptial, so you may have a prenuptial agreement as well, that would make you not have to go through that two to sell. But right. You either would need a free trader or something in place so that you would be able to sell it with your spouse's consent.
Right. And before we switch over to Ed, there's one caveat to that. A lot of folks don't know that, you know, even if you have a legal agreement, right, a free trade agreement, but mm-hmm. you had a joint mortgage together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're both still on the mortgage.
Yeah, you're both still on the mortgage. Just because legally you may have given up the rights doesn't mean financially the bank has said okay.
That's right.
It's always best to refinance if you're going to take on that title solely.
That's right.
Yep. All right. Ed, what you got for us today? Happy Saturday.
Well, thank you for your show. And I just realized I've come into a bad cell fight. So I'll give you my questions. If you can understand them, then I'll be happy to get off the phone and let you answer them over the air.
All right. Go ahead.
What is the average selling price in the Fort Mill market for a home that's about 6,000 square feet in nice shape? Do you have any sense of that?
It's 6,000 square feet.
Right.
I do not, but I will have that after the break. I can look that up. So stay tuned, and I'll get that for you. Okay?
I appreciate that.
All right.
The second question I have, thank you, is I've got a brother who has a home, and he wants to sell it, but he doesn't have enough equity in it to pay for the seller's fee. So is there anything that can be done in that case for him?
The seller's fee as in the commission?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, that's one of those difficult questions because, you know, obviously whenever you use an agent and statistically it's been proven, you get more money. So it's kind of a catch-22. He can certainly try to sell it on his own. But, and, you know, there are companies out there that are available to discount that service. Just be careful of that. You know, there are places that people can go. There's a place called Dane Warren Real Estate where you can pay a fat fee, but the but typically the buyer agent is going to look for a commission. There are, you know, places like Knock or Open Door, but that's only if your brother's willing to sell his house at about a 40 cents on the dollar discount. And that never bodes well. So my thing would be is maybe, you know, talk to a real estate agent, really make sure there's a clear understanding of what the numbers are, because he may be surprised. There may be plenty of room and then some, because the data that people can pull off the internet isn't always the actual data, Ed.
Yeah, and Ed, I'll add in there, too, that you're going to pay a little bit more whenever you go to an attorney as well, because what you're looking at is you're not paying those fees to an agent, but then the attorney's going to have to do double the work. So you're going to end up, in a sense, you're going to end up paying for it anyway.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, I will wait till after the break to see what type of input you give me on the length of time for a home. I know it got appraised, just a drive-by appraisal, whatever that is, at about $900,000.
Yeah, were you doing it for a refinance?
No, we're looking at getting ready to get this on the market.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd love an opportunity to help you too. So,
well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Let me get some numbers for you. I'll look at it at the break, and we'll get them right back to you. How's that?
Okay. Thank you for your help.
Oh, thank you, Ed. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. So one of the things that I wanted to make sure you all know, if you call in and ask a question, if I don't know the answer or if Amber does it, we'll find it. I know the answer to a lot of things, but statistics and numbers are kind of my thing. So I'm kind of anxious to see what that answer is, but I'm going to do some research at the break and figure out what that is. All right. Can a builder keep you from using a realtor? Amber.
So, and this is kind of twofold, because builder or seller, it's kind of, it doesn't really matter. You know, no, they can't. You can use your realtor if you want, but I do want to put in there that you'll want to make sure that it's included in the contract drafting stage, because if the seller doesn't agree to pay for it, you got to check your buyer agency agreement, because that's probably going to have in there, seller doesn't pay for it, you're on the hook for it as the buyer. So you just want to make sure that it's covered, and if it's not covered and you want an agent, you can certainly work with an agent and pay for it yourself.
Yeah. And again, I encourage anyone that's out there to get the advocacy of an agent and obviously of an attorney.
Sure.
It's a big transaction. Do we have time for Brad? Or okay. All right. Hey, Brad, how are you? We're going to jump you right in here. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Appreciate your show.
Thank you. What can we do for you?
I have a rental home, and the family that's rented it for several years has asked me, and of course they've got perfect payment schedule and all that, but they'd asked me if they could possibly purchase the home, but they're afraid that they won't qualify for a mortgage.
Okay.
So just kind of throwing that out there to see what other ways or what possibilities or suggestions you might have.
Okay. I have three. Okay. First of all, it would be ask them to apply for a mortgage first. And see if they can actually do it. You know, it. In essence, they can find out really quick if they're, and there are a lot of programs out there that they may be eligible for. So that would be, you know, simple answer number one. Simple answer number two could be if you would be willing to be the bank for a period of time. Now, if you have a mortgage on it, I would tend to say shy away from that. If you do not have a mortgage on the property and you're willing to be the bank for a period of time, maybe a couple years while they get things back together, you can have Amber draw up some documents that can resolve that for you and protect you and keep you in the first position.
Mm-hmm. That makes good sense.
The last is my favorite, which is, and I got 1 minute, so if we have to continue, just stay on the line, is that you do a lease like you still have with an option to purchase. Not a lease purchase, but lease with an option to purchase. So if they need a couple years to get their credit together and their things together, you create an option document that says anytime within the next 2 years, they can purchase the home from you at this price. But all along, they're still making lease payments to you.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that helped a lot. Appreciate that advice and appreciate your show.
All right, friend. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate you, and happy Saturday to you. All right, well, we've got a lot more to cover today. Amber Holt with Costner Law Firm. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. Feel free to call. We would love to hear from you on this Saturday, 704-570-1110. Stay with us. Hear the show, Your Real Estate Today, on News 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison, your host, here from the Jamison family of companies. That's real estate, property management, and investment. We're glad you're with us here with Amber Holt with Costner Law. Amber is an attorney in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia.
That's right.
She's all over the South, I'm saying. I'm glad you're with us today. And Jim, hang tight. We'll get with you shortly. I want to get back to Ed's question earlier. Just did a quick search looking at homes. Actually, I ran them at over 5,500 square feet. Now, these numbers vary because every house is different. Every neighborhood is different. And so, you know, you can see ranges in the, you know, $89 a square foot up to almost $300, $350 a square foot. So, you know, you're going to have to take this number with a little bit of a grain of salt, Ed. So we're looking at ranges of $146 to $158 a square foot on average. So, you know, again, could be more, could be less. So without seeing the house and where it is or a particular neighborhood, and if you want some tighter numbers, you're more than welcome to call me at 846-DUNN, 846-3663, and we can tighten that up for you. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead, see what Jim needs, and we'll go from there. And then we had another caller that called in that left a question for Amber about if you don't use a realtor and work with an attorney. But we're going to start with you, Jim, since you're live and on. How are you?
Fine. How are y'all doing today?
Good, friend. How are you?
Yeah, since you got the lawyer on, you might know this, Paul. I bought a house about 15 years ago at a delinquent tax sale. And, of course, you get a tax deed with it. And I've been renting it for 15 years.
Uh-huh.
And I decided I don't want to rent it anymore. I want to sell it. But I know I'm going to need a warranty deed. I just want to ask the lawyer lady, how difficult would it be, about what would be a ballpark figure it would cost to get that deed cleaned up to a warranty deed?
Yeah, well, it is going to be a process, and honestly, it's probably a better question because I've got a lot of follow-up questions for you that we probably just don't have time for today. So if you want to call the office at Costner Law Office, I'm going to give you the number, and then that way you and I can have a more detailed conversation. How's that sound?
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those questions that presents more questions.
Yeah, it's I'm going to have to ask you a series, and we just won't have time for
today. And I don't want you to air that out on the air, so
I don't either. So yeah. It's 704-900-1133. Again, that's 704-900-1133, and I'd be happy to talk to you.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Joe. Have a good day.
Jim, sorry.
I did that wrong. That's what these little cheap old glasses will do for you. Guess I need to go up a power, don't I? All right. So, Amber, there was a caller. And, of course, if you want to call 704-570-1110, call us. Pick up the phone. That's why we're here. Ask us. Don't call me Monday. Call me today. But if you call me today. All right. So we got a caller that came back and said, you know, hey, what does the attorney do when she's or he is preparing and helping with the sale if there's no real estate agent involved?
So we're going to step in for you just like your agent would have, and we're going to go through with you on drafting that contract, including negotiations. So if there's any kind of back and forth, so it could potentially be hours involved. Instead of just sitting at a closing table, we're going to spend hours with you going through your closing details, making sure that everything is prepared and ready for you. So it's going to be a lot more time consuming and a lot more work because we're stepping in as your liaison as well, not just on the closing, but trying to make sure that everything preliminarily is taken care of for you as well.
Yeah. And again, in a lot of those situations, then if there are inspections, then you have repair negotiation,
right.
Then you have more documents.
The negotiation could go on and on.
Yeah. Yeah. So just note that there are other aspects than just preparing the deed and title search and so on. So, yeah, that was a good question. Thanks, whoever called in, for calling in. 704-570-1110. And, oh, by the way, that noise was not my stomach. There is a water system in the corner that all of a sudden decided to get active. So if you're thinking out there that I'm hungry, you're wrong.
He looked at me first, and I was like, that wasn't me.
It's like this water system over in the corner, and Amber's starting to talk, and then all of a sudden it just like got grouchy.
Paul, you look like a Looney Tunes cartoon when you looked at me.
I was like, what in the world? That thing's possessed over there. 704-570-1110. All right, so I loved this one, okay? This one was like one of my questions. I was excited about your answer. Okay. Can you record a video and audio in a house when it is being shown?
So, and I get why this comes up, right?
Oh,
because
yeah.
People want to protect their valuables.
And they want to snoop.
Well, I was going to be nice about it and say they want to protect their valuables.
Yeah, that's the excuse. They want to snoop.
So if you're wanting to protect your valuables.
Snoop.
The short answer is you can put cameras without audio in certain areas. So if you had, you know, jewelry boxes, gun safe, something that you wanted to basically protect,
right,
to make sure that no one got into it, you could put a camera on that and make sure that nothing got, you know, taken out of that. But you want to remove the audio. And the reason is because both federal and state law in North Carolina prohibit the interception of audio. And not only that, but as Paul said, it raises ethical concerns for you if your purpose is to hear the conversations between the agents and the buyers. You could potentially face criminal and civil penalties as well, but it also raises ethical concerns that you really shouldn't be leaving audio around, but even more so for the criminal and the civil penalties that you could face. Of course, the exception there is consent. You know, if people come in and you've got something in the you've got a camera up and you want people to know that it's up, you can have them consent, right? And then they can sign a consent waiver and say that they understand that there's a video recording that could be taken place and that they're consenting to be videotaped. So
does that include Alexa? Yeah, well, you know, I think that sucker listens to me without my consent.
Alexa,
I think when you take delivery of that, I think you automatically are giving consent. I'm pretty sure that's
in the contract.
I'm thinking so
just
too.
Just like your Apple iPhone, right?
Exactly.
You click on that disclosure.
Yeah, that's a good. I like that question. That was a good one. All right, another. What, we lose him? Okay. All right. Lastly, how can I legally get someone off the deed?
The easy way is to do a quitclaim deed, and I assumed in this question that the question was coming from them asking that if two people were already owning the deed and one person wanted to get off. So, for example, if a son and a mother, so Ann is the mother, Bob is the son, if she wants to get Bob off of the deed and he wants to come off of the deed, they both, as the grantors, would then just deed it to Ann in a quitclaim deed. And I'm saying quitclaim, not quitclaim. I know I say it fast.
Yeah, Q-U-I-T.
Quit. A quitclaim deed, and that could be done pretty easily. You call us up, and we can get that done for you pretty easily.
Yeah, a lot of people use that, putting properties into LLCs and other thing. They use the quitclaim provision. Yeah, I've seen it all the time. All right, here's a reminder. I got a couple of calls this week, and I want to give these numbers again. Reminders of the growth in our area. Apartment growth from 2016 to 2017 was 9,600. I sound like the water thing. 9,600 units. 2017 to 2018, 11,674 units. 2018 on the books, 12,674 units. To date, vacancy rate in these downtown units, where most of them are. Have you counted the cranes lately, people, by the way? Is less than 400 units. That's just insane to me. I mean, that's just crazy. But that's what it is. Okay. All right. Summer selling. Summer selling. Okay. Some of these are common sense. Some of these are dumb. And some of these are pretty darn smart. So I'm going to do some all. Okay. Summer selling. And how much time do I have? Oh, 30 seconds. It's not going to be enough. We're just going to have to come back to it. All right. First of all, comfortable temperature. If you are showing a home in the summer and you go in there and it's 9 million degrees and you can bake cookies on the floor, it is not going to be a good experience.
It's probably not going to smell like cookies.
You might save a little bit of money, but you're not going to sell. All right, we've got a hard break. We'll be right back here to show you Real Estate Today. Please stay with us. News 1110-993-WBT. All right, well, if you're just tuning into the show Your Real Estate Today, or Roger Rabbit, call it whatever you want. We're here talking about real estate. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. If you're just popping on, this is a show about real estate, anything having to do with it. I'm here with my good friend and counsel to Jamison and the Jamison team and many others in town, Amber Holt with the Costner Law Firm. We're here talking about real estate topics, and we've been going through a series of questions with Amber. We're also live, so we invite you to call 704-570-1110. Don't be scared to call. Pick up the phone and call us. Don't call me Monday. Call us today. There's great questions out there, and we've had many good ones so far. 704-570-1110. We'll put you on with us because we want not only to help you, we'd love to help others that are probably thinking the same thing. All right, 704-570-1110. Okay, now, I was going through a series of summer selling tips, and my first was a comfortable temperature. We're not going to talk about that anymore. I think we get that. Always and still, bright means money. Light and bright. Open the shades. Turn on the lights. Make it nice and bright. First thing every realtor does when they walk in the door is?
Flip on the lights.
Flip on the lights. Pull up the shades. You know? And nothing worse than a dark, dreary house. All right. Here's one of those duh-huhs. Keep it clean. Give it a good deep clean. Prepare to sell it. Get rid of all the rolled-up bugs in the corner if the house is empty. Declutter. You know, people do have a hard time seeing through clutter. Depersonalize. We know you love your family. I love mine, too. But we want to make it so that when people come through there, they don't see you. They see themselves. Personalization is one of those that's really hard for people. And we know that personalization is a big key. So if you want to sell, summer selling, make sure you do that. All right? Ceiling fans. Nothing worse than looking up and seeing a ceiling fan that's got a mustache, you know, or a beard in some cases, like Jesse's or mine.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. No. Well, mine's white, so it's more clean. But anyway, his is red. Okay. So make sure you clean that ceiling fan. Sometimes it's missed. Everyone looks down, but don't forget they look up too. All right. Okay, here's one of my favorites, summer refreshments when you're coming in out of 107 degrees. Have some nice ice cold water there, maybe something nice and refreshing, some lemonade and things like that. I always think it keeps people there longer, which is the ultimate key. It isn't about trying to feed somebody a full meal, although, you know, you can go to Costco and get that. You want to make sure that you make the home feel not just bright, light, and clean, but also inviting. And that's a good way to do that. And you can do kind of little summery things. Have a pitcher of lemonade there, little light summer snacks. Okay. Do some power washing. You know, a lot of houses right now, when it gets hot, on the side where the sun doesn't quite hit it, gets that little layer of microbial growth, mold. So, you know, a lot of times a quick power wash is always a good thing. You can buy aftermarket products to do that or to hose down. And I also like those products that allow you not to have to get on a ladder to clean your windows, that you can spray them on, rinse them off, and nice clean windows. Yay. Okay. Last few things, I'll go pretty quick, tackle the obvious. Make sure if there are obvious things that need to be done, little things, little repairs, little changes, make them, and then make them. Fresh coat of paint is always good. Don't be afraid of that. Front door hardware. You know, it's one of the first things they see. And, you know, I'm amazed sometimes where I'll walk up to the front door and you can't get in because the doorknobs don't work. That's not a good first impression. I'm just saying, okay? Trim your trees and shrubs. Put some fresh flowers in the beds. If you're worried about the deer eating them, my wife's secret is to put a little bit of blood meal around them, and the bunnies and the deer will leave them alone. Don't go out there and go to the bathroom in your front yard. That doesn't work. Don't put shavings out there. Get the blood meal. You know, that only worked on that movie Back to the Future or whatever it was. So don't do that, okay? You can get in trouble, and then you're going to need Amber. Okay.
We're not that kind of law firm.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. That's the kind of research you don't want to have to do. All right. Enhance outdoor living areas. Perfect time to highlight the outside of the home. Remember, outdoor square footage is just as valuable in the sale as indoor. Okay? And then, this is spider time. If Marty Ivy was here, he'd be doing his mantra of, woo, going to get me some spiders. But, you know, clean up the spider stuff. Okay? All right. So, we're going to do a couple of more legal questions with Amber, and then we're going to go to buying a home in the summer. Okay? All right. Oh, that sounds good. Okay. All right. So, here's one of my second favorites, Amber. What if a seller backs out of the deal? What do you do?
So, you're going to want to look at the contract, and I know you feel like you probably hear me say that every time I'm on the show about 10 times, but it's important. You look to the contract, see what the contract says for the potential remedies, whether it's returning the earnest money or even in addition to that, fees that they're going to incur because of the seller reneging on the deal that the buyer is going to incur, what fees that contract has allowed for that they can potentially recover. So,
yeah, and included in those fees are commission.
Right. But just to be clear, specific performance is probably not going to be an option because a court is not going to make somebody move, but certainly you're entitled to damages that you've laid out in that contract, which is what's so important about making sure that it's all laid out in the beginning.
Yeah, that's really true. I mean,
protect yourself.
That's really true. I really like that. My wife just texted me, by the way, and she said that she's not sure that the bunnies will run off from blood meal, but she knows the deer will. So I want to clarify that if you heard that ding, that would be Carrie correcting me. So, you know, please consult your horticulturist for more information. Thank you.
Still don't use the bathroom in your front yard, though.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. Okay. I don't care how far out in the country you are. Just please don't do that. Okay. Can I be removed from a mortgage without a refinance?
Not really. Unless you sell it, right? Of course, if you sell it and pay it off, that's one way, but refinancing is really your only option. There's some other things out there, but it's few and far between. And
yeah, you know, a lot of people, there's still a question, you know, is the mortgage assumable? And the FHA mortgage is about the only mortgage that is assumable.
Right.
And, you know, others have asked, you know, well, if it's assumable, can I assume they'll take my name off? It's not that simple.
Right.
You know, so, you know, you can connect with your mortgage company, but I'm just going to tell you, once they got you, they want to keep you.
Right.
And you're going to have to refinance if you want to take that off of yourself. 704-570-1110. If you want to call in, we're live. Don't be afraid. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a real estate or a legal question related to real estate or anything doing with investment, rental property, leasing, et cetera. Okay. All right. What happens if after I close on the property, I discover that repairs agreed upon in the contract were not performed? Do you think that ever happens?
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
I bet you know what my answer is going to be.
After you reference the contract.
So you want to look at the contract and see what those remedies are that you can use to enforce it.
Yeah. So I was told this, so please correct me if I'm wrong. I was told that the contract supersedes the closing. So in other words, if contractually the seller had agreed to make certain repairs, even after you closed and you can prove that those repairs were not made, that
you still look to the contract.
You still look to the contract.
You're looking to the contract because that is the binding agreement, right? That's the agreement that the two parties mutually agreed to be bound by.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter what you say at closing, right? Because A, that's not in writing. And you're still looking, and unless it was basically an addendum to the contract where both parties are saying that that was to be included back into the contract so that it's basically included as a whole back into the contract. It's not a part of the contract. So you're still going to go back to that initial agreement that the two parties made.
Right. You know, for many, many years, Amber, and even how I handle things from an integrity standpoint and what I can control, even though it is a little bit, I'd say, out of school, you know, I am a believer that if you say you're going to do something, you do it. And if I shake somebody's hand and I look in their eyes, I mean, that's what I plan to do. My yes is yes, sure. And my no is no.
Sure.
Okay. But in the real estate world, an oral agreement is not binding.
No.
And I was in a situation this morning where all parties had come to an agreement related to how the repairs were going to be handled. Am I out of time? I got a minute? Okay. How all repairs were going to be handled. But the agreement was put in writing but not signed by all parties yet. Mm. And in the due diligence period, there's a time limit at 5 o'clock on the day the due diligence period ends. Mm. And if that is not in writing, whether you agree to it orally or not,
it's not legally binding. Yeah.
That's right. Right. So in order to protect my client, you know what I did? I prepared a termination.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to, if after the due diligence period, the earnest money becomes hard money. And I was not going to put that at risk for my client. So we can talk back and forth and they can go, yeah, we agree. It's fine. But until that document comes back to me signed,
It's no good.
Yeah. I mean, and that's frustrating to me, but it is what it is. So we go that way. All right. We've got some more of the same. So, in you know, we've got to go to another hard break in 30 seconds. But let me tell you more of what's to come. We've got more of these questions for Amber about real estate and how things can be handled. We're also going to have some tips about how to buy a home in the summer. And then we're still here to take your calls. We've got time left, 704-570-1110. This is the show, Your Real Estate Today, and yes, we are live. So stay with us on News 1110-993-WBT. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. We've gone from a cartoon movie to Deliverance. So we're here with you. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. Glad you're with us today from the Jamison family of companies. We're live from the WBT studios here with my good friend and counsel for the Jamison Realty Companies, Amber Holt with Costner Law. Hello, hello. Okay, so if you want to call, you've still got time, 704-570-1110. If you have a question about your home, your investment, your tenants, your issues with property, should I, can I, can't I, I want to fix this, I want to do this, I have a problem with this, that's why we're here. So don't be shy, pick up the phone, just call 704-570-1110, and we'd love to hear from you. Okay, now let's continue. So, Amber, can a property management company list a house for lease before they own it?
So you can, but you're going to want to do a couple things. Make sure you have a couple things in place.
Okay.
You're going to want that seller's consent.
Yeah.
In addition to giving a full disclosure to your prospective tenants whenever you do that listing.
Yeah, because if they go ahead and take the property and put a deposit on it, and for some reason it doesn't close.
It falls through, right. They need to have notice that that was a possibility.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like that question. And you can do it, and we've done it many, many times. And it allows you to get some momentum and get a pool of people together for when the property does close. You've got tenants there. All right. What happens if there is a claim to title from an old lien after the lien holder no longer owns it?
So, and I'm not going to lie, I had to reach out to Holly, one of our other attorneys on this one, and she gave me some excellent research tips on how to find this answer, because this isn't something she's our expert at title. So I went out to her and she said that according to the North Carolina General Statute, which I went ahead and looked up, it says, and it's NC Gen Stat 45, if you're curious.
Yeah, definitely 45.
He was like, I knew that. It was 45. The statute of limitations says that it's 15 years after the maturity date on the deed of trust that your lien will expire. So it's 15 days after the maturity date on the deed of trust, or if that deed does, or the deed of trust does not have the maturity date listed, that's 35 years after the closing date.
The 35 years?
That it's going to expire.
Dang. Okay. You know, I did have a client and that on, I think it was like 3 days or 4 days, there are companies that go out and search these that actually 3 or 4 days before that 15-year lien actually expired, they went ahead and got a judge and, you know, called in that lien.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, that client had title insurance.
Right. That's the big thing, right? That's what you can do. You can always call and ask them to insure over it, too. The closer you are to that statute of limitations,
yep,
the more likely it is that they're just going to insure over it.
And you know, that lien was for $62,000 because all the late fees got thrown in, everything got thrown in. Yeah. Never walk away from title insurance,
oh,
people.
That hurt me, hearing that number.
Yeah,
oh,
I mean, think about that. Huh? Yeah, when you got a property, you got a property worth $200,000, and you got a old lien that all of a sudden appears for $64,000, that'll make you jump up and go hooty-hoo, for sure. All right, are tax sales worth looking at? Come on, Amber.
You know, I defer to your expertise on this.
The answer's no.
But what I can tell you is the reason, you know, Paul's saying no here is that there's some risk there. And when some risk, there's a lot of risk there.
Yeah.
You can mitigate it if you do some really quality research, but you just don't know sometimes which the properties are going to be held at auction until the auction's, like, right on you. And so you don't always have time to do that quality research. And so you just want to kind of use some common sense. You know, if there's years and years of taxes owed, then, you know, why hasn't it been sold at a prior auction yet?
And it goes back to what Jim was asking before.
Right.
You know, so when Jim comes in, you've got to walk him through that series of stuff.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. Okay. Buying a home in the summer. All right. We're going in the lightning round. Here we go. Buying a home in the summer. Pay attention to days on market. The more days on market, the more that reflects on pricing. Okay? Pay attention to days on market, DOM. That is a reflection of pricing. Although, I want to put a footnote, caveat, little carrot, air quotes, whatever, that says, be careful of that statement in that days on market always is a direct reflection on price, because in our market, homes over $500,000 do move slower than other houses. Typically in the 500 range, you see 92, 93 days, where over 700, you may see up to 230 days. So just be careful of that. Okay. Second of all, be ready to move fast if you're buying a home, especially after July 4th. And some of those aspects of being ready mean getting your financing shored up, getting things ready so that you can make the move. If you still want to get in the schools, you got to get your schooling and homework done so you can do that yourself. Don't think that the 45-day process is automatic. Be ready, get ready, and shore it up and get her done. All right? If you need to get in the schools, here's another option. Consider, if the home is vacant, leasing it back from the seller so you can designate that as your primary address. Just an idea. Okay? Get out of your current house so you can get in the next one. You know what I'm saying? Be able to do the modifications to the home if needed. Look, one of the things that I say all the time is, wouldn't we all love to get the keys at closing, open the door, turn on the lights, set up our couch, put in our big flat screen TV, turn on our internet, sit down, and tap the beer. That was a bad noise. Tap the beer and relax, right? I drink wine, so I don't do that well. So wouldn't that be great? However, these days, don't be afraid to paint a little. Don't be afraid to change the floors. Don't be afraid to do some things, and you can build that into your process, okay? Last, not quite last, but don't sweat the small stuff. Don't worry about the little tiny things. Don't focus on those. Just look at the big things and look at what you can do. In the fall, less options, so don't lose a deal over a couple of $1,000. There's less homes on the market, and you're going to pay a mortgage somewhere. Respond quickly, especially and on time, and don't put personal property into the deal. Do it later. All right. So, Amber, how do they get in touch with Costner?
You can reach us at 704-900-1130. That's 704-900-1130, or my direct line is 1133.
All right. And at Jamison, it's 846-DUNN, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamisonhomes.com. God bless you all. Have a great week. We look forward to talking to you next time to show your real estate today. Take care.
Thanks again, Paul.
Loved it.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench.
Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.